Climate change is going to change everything about how we live and where we get our food and where we get our energy. And that's why it's so important to be educated about this, be smart about this, and make better choices.
Yes. Let's do that, shall we? Let's make better choices. Okay?
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Nothing.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon, on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet, so the Progressive Voices Channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. We will have some red meat, I guess, coming up for you on the Trump-Biden contest you may have heard about.
That thing that's coming up?
Yeah, I think that is. Anyway, we'll have some news on that, including some good news, I think. But hi, Desi Doyen.
Hi.
Let me start with a story that I had hoped to actually cover last week, but I had a kick down the road thanks to my latest bout with COVID last week, leading us to cancel a show. The story is seemingly, like so many that we cover, frankly, a sign of both good news and a warning. That kind of sums up the Bradcast, doesn't it, Des?
Yes, it does.
The reported birth of a rare white buffalo, not an albino buffalo, but an actual white buffalo in Yellowstone National Park, fulfills a Lakota prophecy that portends better times ahead. Nice. That sounds good. Maybe I should just stop the story right there. That, in any event, is according to members of the Native American tribe, who caution that it's also a sign that more must be done to protect the earth and its animals. Yep. Quote, "The birth of this calf is both a blessing and warning. We must do more," said Chief Arvol Looking Horse, the spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and the Nakota Oyate in South Dakota, and the 19th keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf woman pipe and bundle, which is quite a title.
Yes, it is.
The birth of the sacred calf comes after a severe winter, which drove thousands of Yellowstone buffalo, also known as bison, to lower elevations. More than 1,500 of them were killed, sent to slaughter, or transferred to tribes seeking to reclaim stewardship over an animal that their ancestors lived alongside for millennia. For the Lakota, the birth, however, of a white buffalo calf with a black nose, eyes, and hooves is akin to the second coming of Jesus Christ, Looking Horse said. Lakota legend says about 2,000 years ago, when nothing was good, food was running out, and bison were disappearing, white buffalo calf woman appeared, presented a bowl pipe and a bundle to a tribal member, taught them how to pray, and said that the pipe could be used to bring buffalo to the area for food. As she left, she turned into a white buffalo calf. Quote, "And someday when the times are hard again," Looking Horse said in relating the legend, "I shall return and stand upon the earth as a white buffalo calf, black nose, black eyes, black hooves." Troy Heinert, the executive director of the South Dakota-based Intertribal Buffalo Council, said the calf in the photos that were taken by a tourist in Yellowstone look, in fact, like a true white buffalo because it has a black nose, black hooves, and dark eyes. "From the pictures I've seen, that calf seems to have those traits," said Heinert, who is Lakota. "An albino buffalo would have pink eyes." This calf was captured in photos last week by a Yellowstone tourist who, quote, "saw something really white among a herd of bison across the Lamar River. The traffic was stopped as buffalo were crossing the road, and she noticed this something really white before she took out her camera to take a closer look with her telephoto lens, and she got a picture of this white calf with its mother." A similar white buffalo calf was actually born in Wisconsin in 1994. It was named Miracle. A naming ceremony has been held for the Yellowstone calf that nobody really can figure out how it even happened. But the naming ceremony, according to Looking Horse, would be next week, I believe. They declined to reveal the name of this calf, the one in Yellowstone, but a ceremony celebrating the birth is set for June 26 at the Buffalo Field Campaign headquarters in West Yellowstone.
I hope that they also make sure that they keep its location secret.
Other tribes also revere the white buffalo, apparently. Heinert said many tribes have their own story of why the white buffalo is so important. All stories go back to them being very sacred. Heinert and several members of the Buffalo Field Campaign say they've never heard of a white buffalo being born in Yellowstone, which has wild herds. They have no record of a white buffalo being born in the park previously. Jim Matheson, an executive director of the National Bison Association, could not quantify just how rare the calf is. Quote, "To my knowledge, no one's ever tracked the occurrence of white buffalo being born throughout history, so I'm not sure how we can make a determination how often it even occurs." Heinert sees the calf's birth as a reminder that we need to live in a good way and treat others with respect. "I hope that calf is safe and going to live its best life in Yellowstone National Park, exactly where it was designed to be," said Heinert. So
there's that.
We will take that today as a sign of good news, because frankly, we could use it around here.
Absolutely. I hope the Lakota prophecy is correct.
But if we do, if we take it as the prophecy and a correct one, we also need to take it as a sign, that sign as a warning, as per the Lakota prophecy.
True.
As well. To that end, given what seems like, frankly, just an explosion right now of extreme climate change fueled weather pretty much everywhere, from the first named storm of the hurricane season down in the Gulf slamming into Mexico to wildfires exploding in California and New Mexico and Washington State to extreme, and I mean extreme, heat over much of the country, from the desert Southwest to the Midwest to the East Coast, where record temperatures, I am sorry to say, will be lingering for at least the next week or so, as we've been warning now for a while. So, let's revel in the good news of the white buffalo calf today, portending better times, while also taking its warning that more must be done to protect the earth and its animals, which, yes, include its human animals. To that end, a new, very disturbing study that we didn't have time to include in our latest Green News report, given much of the above that Desi will have for us later this hour.
Yep.
But this study, nearly 2,000 children under 5 are dying every day from air pollution. Let me repeat that, because when I read it, I sort of had to reread it to make sure I was reading it correctly. Nearly 2,000 children under 5 are dying every day from air pollution. which has now overtaken poor sanitation and a lack of clean water to become the second biggest health risk factor for young children around the world. That via a new study by the Health Effects Institute, or HEI, as reported by the UK's Guardian this week, finding that more than 8 million deaths of children and adults were caused by air pollution in 2021. 8 million deaths.
Every year from air pollution.
As both outdoor and indoor pollution continue to take an increasing toll on health, dirty air is now the second biggest killer globally, overtaking tobacco use, and second only to high blood pressure at this point as a risk factor for death among the general population. Among children under five, air pollution is second only to malnutrition as a risk factor in mortality. This year's State of Global Air Report, published by the HEI every year since 2017 and produced this year in partnership with UNICEF, also shows that children in poor countries are suffering some of the worst impacts, of course, with the death rate linked to air pollution in children under five, 100 times higher in most of Africa than it is in high-income countries. Tiny particles called PM2.5, meaning they are smaller than 2.5 micrometers in diameter, are apparently to blame for more than 90% of global air pollution deaths. According to the report, PM2.5 particles can enter the bloodstream and have been found to affect organs throughout the body. They've been found to be associated not only with lung disease, but heart disease, stroke, diabetes, dementia, and miscarriage. The report showed how pervasive and damaging the prevalence of PM2.5 pollution has now become, finding that the presence of elevated levels of the fine particles was now, quote, the most consistent and accurate predictor of poor health outcomes around the world. But I will add here that it's not just an issue in poorer countries, as Desi, I believe you reported earlier this week, on 50,000, do I have this number right? 50,000 Californians who were killed by chronic exposure to wildfire smoke.
Yep.
And the particles that it produces over that, I think, over a 10-year period.
Yes, that was a study that was done by UCLA over a 10-year period between 2008 and 2018. They estimate that 50,000 Californians were died prematurely due to exposure to wildfire smoke. And the 7 to 8 million that die globally every year, that's mm-hmm. from fossil fuel air pollution. So overall, air pollution, wildfire smoke, and fossil fuel dirty air are killing people.
As to the findings of the HEI study and the 2,000 children under five every day around the world who are being killed by air pollution, Kitty van der Heijden, the deputy executive director of UNICEF, said, quote, our inaction is having profound effects on the next generation with lifelong health and well-being impacts. The global urgency, she says, is undeniable. It is imperative that governments and businesses consider these estimates and locally available data and use it to inform meaningful, child-focused action to reduce air pollution and protect children's health. The impacts of the climate crisis, according to HEI, worsening air quality, are a big part of this, the climate crisis itself. The report found that, quote, as droughts become more severe and prolonged and lands grow ever drier, wildfires ravage once thriving forests, and dust storms impact vast plains, filling the air with particles that linger for long periods of time. So, yes, all of this is connected. Higher temperatures in summer can also worsen the impacts of airborne pollutants such as nitrogen oxides, which at elevated temperatures can turn more readily into ozone.
And smog, that's the stuff that comes out of your tailpipe. It interacts with the heat and the sun to make it extra, extra bad for your lungs.
Long-term exposure to ozone contributed to nearly 500,000 deaths in 2021, according to the report. Well, you know, can't we talk about cute white little bison calves again? Unfortunately, we are. We are doing just that. Remember, it is also a warning. It signals better times, but it is also a warning, according to the Lakota. Tackling air pollution could also have beneficial impacts on the climate. About 500,000 of the deaths of children in 2021 were linked to dirty air indoors, mainly the results of cooking with dirty fuels, including biomass and charcoal and paraffin and coal. Switching to cleaner fuels could vastly reduce PM2.5 emissions as well as emissions of carbon dioxide. The State of Global Air report used data from the Global Burden of Disease study from 2021, covering more than 200 countries and territories around the world. Previous reports have found that nearly every person breathes unhealthy levels of air pollution each day, and that 500,000 babies were being killed each year by filthy air. We also covered recently in one of our Green News reports a new study that found that in the U.S., the deployment of renewable energy since 2019, and in particular amid the renewable energy boom that is now happening under Joe Biden and the Democrats, you may not know about it, you may not have heard about it, because it does not get reported very much.
We reported it.
Well, we did. But this renewable energy boom under Joe Biden and the Democrats has, in fact, resulted in the savings of $250 billion in public health costs. For example, yes, by reducing air pollution and ozone. Specifically, as Ars Technica reported at the end of May, when I think you picked it up in one of our Green News reports, Des.
Yep.
Quote, climate and health benefits of wind and solar dwarf all the subsidies to wind and solar. By displacing fossil fuels, wind and solar save the U.S. $250 billion over just 4 years. 4 years, $250 billion. And by the way, that's with wind and solar really sort of just getting started at this point in this country.
Yeah, and the benefits come from not killing as many people and not as many asthma attacks. So there's less lost work productivity. There are all kinds of economic impacts that air pollution is a burden that is put onto Americans.
The more that we do, the more lives that we save, and frankly, the more money that we save as well, over the continued use of filthy, dirty, deadly, expensive fossil fuels, the better everything is. Everything. So do you need a reason to support Joe Biden and the Democrats this year? Well, there's one of them for you. Or there's 250 billion of them for you, depending on how you look at it. All of which is just another reason why it was so disappointing recently to see Democratic Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, after praising the idea previously, she was in favor of this idea. Suddenly, at the last minute, she put the kibosh on a plan to institute so-called congestion pricing in New York City, when, if I understand it, private cars would have to have paid $15 to come into the city during peak traffic times.
Right.
So that plan, which was at once supported by the Democratic governor before, I guess she was in favor of it before she was against it, that plan would have not only radically reduced air pollution, but also...
And traffic congestion.
It would have netted New York about $1 billion per year for the MTA, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. In Stockholm, Stockholm, Sweden, congestion pricing akin to what was planned for New York, in addition to, as Des notes, seriously cutting down traffic. Also, in Stockholm, it cut childhood asthma attacks in half by 50% since it was first instituted back in 2006. 50%. So there's all kinds of reasons why what Hochul did in New York was terrible, and yes, she is a Democrat. So those who enjoy, you know, accusing me of being partisan or something, I am not. I'm happy to call out Democrats when they screw up and they do something stupid. much as I'm happy to give Democrats credit when they do the right thing, as, by the way, they have under Joe Biden's unprecedented investments in wind and solar and other renewable energies and technologies via the Inflation Reduction Act and many more executive initiatives that he has taken over the past 4 years, particularly in the past year or so, I should say even the past 6 months or so. When they have been putting a lot of executive policies into place, new rules, new regulations.
That cut pollution, that cut energy costs.
And we've been covering it on the Green News Report, but boy, it does not get much coverage elsewhere.
No, it doesn't.
Now, is what they are doing, is that enough? Of course not. It is not enough. Can we make Joe Biden do more? Well, you bet we can. But that also leads me to wonder, those who are critical of Joe Biden and his stance, for example, on Israel. And by the way, I am one of them. But those who suggest that, they're so angry about what he's doing in Israel that they are not going to vote for Joe Biden this year because he is genocide Joe in his support for Israel. First, what Israel is doing is not actually genocide. It is arguably war crimes and atrocities. But it's not genocide, which has a very specific legal meaning, at least in my opinion. And while I appreciate that that is a distinction without a difference at this point, especially for those who are being killed in Gaza right now, be it through bombing, starvation, lack of medical care, etc. Well, I would suggest that you keep in mind just some of the points that I have mentioned about the daily deaths in this new study. Nearly 2,000 children under five every day, day in and day out, year after year.
That's about 700,000 children every year that die from air pollution.
Who die from air pollution, thanks in no small part to our continued use of dirty fossil fuels, both here in the U.S. and around the globe. So, you know, when I hear folks saying that Joe Biden should be punished somehow due because of his position on Israel, either by voting for the other guy or just staying home, not voting at all this year, let me please remind you that the other guy has vowed to reverse every single one of Joe Biden's climate initiatives. And he's even told fossil fuel industry donors in person that he will happily accept $1 billion from them in order to do it. In exchange, he will roll everything back if he is put back into the White House. And yeah, that $1 billion that he's asking for from the fossil fuel industry, it is a pittance to them. It is the cost of doing business. For the most profitable industry and the most deadly industry in the history of mankind. And if you also haven't noticed, the other guy is a friend, a good friend, to Israel's far-right Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. And he has mused about what a great real estate opportunity it would be to have access to all of that beachfront property on the Red Sea and what is currently called Gaza. So do you honestly think that things in Israel and in Gaza are going to be better if Donald Trump wins the presidency this November? Are you kidding me? If you think that's going to make life better for the Palestinians and the people in Gaza, well, please send me a little bit of whatever it is that you are smoking. You may or you may not like what Joe Biden is doing with Israel. But as even AOC has said, I think we've played the clip on this show, I would rather organize against him, against Joe Biden, than against the other guy, than against the convicted felon with whom you and I and everyone else who considers ourselves opposed to fascism and in favor of democracy will not stand a chance of forcing to do the right thing. You might be able to get Joe Biden to do the right thing. He has proven movable. He has proven to change his positions once he has been pressured by people like Bernie Sanders and others. But if you think you're going to be able to move Donald Trump on anything, good luck to you. I don't want to see anybody die unnecessarily, be it via war or famine or pollution. But if your reason for opposing Joe Biden is due to the deaths that you feel he has had a hand in Gaza, well, that's fair enough. But please do not forget about all of the other deaths. Arguably, in fact, in far larger numbers that he has had an historic step in beginning to prevent from happening through his climate policies. And don't forget that the other guy is vowing to roll all of that back, all of those life-saving measures back on behalf of the deadliest industry in the history of mankind, and all in exchange for the $1 billion that they will surely be giving him to bankroll his campaign. Everything in perspective, please. The white buffalo calf brings us a blessing and a warning. Better times ahead, at least I hope. But more must be done to protect the earth and its animals, including its humans like you and me and our children and our grandchildren. And for those out there listening to me today in sweltering heat, which is frankly much of the nation right now, and that heat will continue for the next week or so, well, we can do something about all of this, including we can do something about the heat that you are struggling through today. We can make it stop. As our friend, climate scientist, Dr. Michael Mann of University of Pennsylvania's Earth Systems Science Center explained yesterday on CNN.
So what can we do to make this, you know, to prevent this from getting worse? And that's the good news. One of the things that we've come to understand over the last decade and a half is that the warming of the surface of the planet halts fairly quickly when we bring our carbon emissions to zero. And so there is a very direct and immediate impact of our effort to decarbonize our economy. Now, here's the thing. We've got to bring carbon emissions down by about 50% over the next decade and down to zero within a couple decades if we're going to prevent the warming, the planet from warming beyond roughly 3 degrees Fahrenheit, where we'll see far worse consequences of climate change. And so, as I like to say, there is urgency, but there is agency. It's not too late for us to act.
It is not too late for us to act. We can do something about this. We can fix this. It is not yet too late, I think. So let the birth of the white buffalo calf and the ungodly heat that many of our listeners are right now dealing with today and over the next week or more, let all of that be a reminder of all of the above, that we must do more. We must do more. And we must think beyond our own narrow political silos. Whether it's for the good of the people of Gaza, who deserve much better, who will not get it with the other guy, I promise you, or if it's for the entire globe, which definitely will not see better days with the other guy. If we are to take him at his word for what he promises to bring if he is elected once again to the White House. All right, more on some of those nightmares in our Green News Report a little bit later, and some better news, I think, a little. Maybe on all of the other potential nightmares. All of that straight ahead on today's broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
The broadcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. Please drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up.
Welcome back.
Get up.
It's Brad Cast, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Of course, I'm the only one who knows what it is I'm about to talk about, so I am chuckling at the idea that Joe Biden is a sex machine.
Oh, dear. Don't make me think of that.
Okay. Did I say welcome back to the Bradcast? Welcome back to it. We don't tend to cover a lot of polling on this show unless there's a particularly good reason to do so. As we prefer to focus more on the track conditions of democracy rather than its horse races specifically. Also, polling, for a bunch of different reasons, has become a whole lot less and less useful over recent election cycles, as far as I'm concerned. But occasionally, they can give us some helpful, well, they give us a helpful snapshot of what is or isn't going on, and which way the country may or may not be moving on any particular thing, as is the case with a poll out last night from Fox News, which, though it's a far right-wing fake news outlet, propaganda outlet, it actually has a mostly legitimate polling outfit. And in any event, if we use its own polling, its previous polls as sort of a yardstick, how the same poll of the Fox News poll found things in its previous surveys compared to its latest poll, it can also offer a reading of the direction that things seem to be moving right now among the electorate, with just over 4 months to go before Election Day and in advance of next week's presidential debate on Thursday night, which could shake things up, could shake up everything in Lord knows which direction.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute.
So this would be an apples to apples, a Fox to Fox poll comparison that gives a sense of the trend line.
Well, yes. Yeah, so out from Fox News today, they report President Biden is the front runner in a hypothetical matchup against former President Trump for the first time since October, as positive views of the economy inch up, hitting their highest level thus far in the Biden presidency. That, again, according to a Fox News national survey. Since May, they report, there has been a 3-point change in the presidential race. Trump was ahead of Biden by 1 point last month in the Fox News poll, while Biden is now up 2 points today, 50% to 48%. Now, as Fox notes, that is still well within the poll's margin of error, that, 2 points. And I will note that given the way that the electoral college system is currently rigged against Democrats, frankly, Joe Biden will almost certainly have to win by much more than 2 points nationally. We don't run national elections. We run state-by-state elections. So when they have these national polls, you sort of have to go through some interpretation with them. But he would have to be up by more than 2 points nationally for that really to confidently translate into a win in the swing states that he needs to take in order to win the Electoral College. Democrats would make a mistake to breathe easy on any of this news, and frankly, on any polling here, until their guy is at least 4 or 5 points ahead of the Republic of Trump in national polling. And even then, I wouldn't trust those polls. But what's most notable to me here is the move in Biden's direction when we compare today's poll with the very same poll last month, and more clearly from the Fox News poll back in March. So since May, there has been a 3-point change, with Trump ahead by one previously, now Biden up by two. So that's a 3-point change since May in the same apples-to-apples comparison Fox News poll. But since March, there has been a 7-point swing for the presumptive Democratic nominee. 7-point swing in Joe Biden's favor and away from the Republicans' nominee. If I'm Joe Biden and the Democrats, that's exactly what I want to keep seeing. And by the way, this is true no matter if Fox News's poll is way off. If, in fact, Joe Biden is down by five, well, that means that he was previously down by eight in that same poll. So he's still moving in the right direction. And that's my point. That's my point of why this poll is useful. Biden's current 50% support ahead of Trump by 2 points, Fox reports, is his best this election cycle in the Fox poll, where he hasn't been ahead of Trump since October of 2023, and that was just by 1 point at the time, 49-48. And those are the head-to-head numbers, Trump versus Biden, a two-man race. But in many states, there's likely to be more candidates on the ballot. But the Fox poll also found that there was a 4-point shift when other potential candidates are included. In a five-person race, Biden also tops Trump, but in that case, only by 1 point, 43-42%. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. receives 10%. Cornel West and Jill Stein each get 2% each. So in a 5-point race, again, a 1-point advantage isn't much. It's within the poll's margin of error. But last month, I would suggest before Trump's 34 felony convictions related to his attempt to rig the 2016 election with hush money payments to a porn star, last month on that expanded 5-person ballot, Donald Trump was ahead of Joe Biden by 3 points. Now it's Biden over Trump by one. So that is a 4-point shift in favor of Joe Biden over the past month. That's something. The new survey shows that nearly all partisans remain loyal and locked in. 95% of Democrats support Joe Biden, and 95% of Republicans back Donald Trump, according to the poll. They note that the key is independents, who now favor Joe Biden by 9 points, which is a shift from Fox's May survey when they preferred Donald Trump by 2 points. So that is an 11-point shift among independents since May, essentially since Trump's conviction. So now that I have mentioned all of that, I think it's really interesting. I think it's really notable. It's probably encouraging for Democrats out there. Now that I have mentioned all of that, please forget it and get back to work in advance of this year's elections, like your lives depended on it, because they very well might. And all this tells us is that, at least according to one poll, the Fox News poll, Biden is moving up and Trump is moving down a little. But if I'm Biden, it's definitely beats the alternative. And speaking of moving down, never mind what voters tell pollsters when they call, money may speak louder than words right now regarding how voters, Trump supporters in particular, view Donald Trump's future. Since Trump's conviction on 34 felony counts in New York on May 30, his grifty media company called Trump Media and Technology Group, it trades under the symbol DJT, his initials. Since May 30th, his company, Trump Media, has tanked almost 50% in market value. 50 points from nearly $52 a share at the end of May to just under $27 a share at the close of the market today, when it plummeted 14.5% today alone, after having skidded about 35 points over the past week alone. It is plummeting. The company is still wildly overvalued nonetheless, with a whole bunch of MAGA dupes investing in it, many of them sadly investing their entire life savings and running up its value to a market cap today to about $4.7 billion, even though the company has just one product, which would be Trump's dumb Truth Social knockoff Twitter site, which continues to lose millions of dollars each year. And bring in very little in revenue. It is all completely being propped up by his stock supporters, his presumably MAGA stock supporters, who have lost a whole hell of a lot of money over the past month. Sorry, not sorry. I tried to warn you. I expect, frankly, DJT will eventually become a penny stock, frankly. And the way it's been tanking since last month, that could happen sooner rather than later at this point. But we will see. And speaking of Trump versus Biden and that debate I mentioned coming up next week, as CNN is reporting today, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are set for a historic showdown, with the stage now set for CNN's Thursday night, June 27 presidential debate. The showdown will make history as the first debate between a sitting president and a former president. It will also be the first debate since 2020 featuring either Biden, who did not face a serious challenge for the Democratic nomination, or Donald Trump, who skipped those debates that were held during the Republican primary race. A key departure from the two Biden-Trump debates of 2020, both of which were hosted by universities, is that the June 27 clash will have no studio audience. Which, if you ask me, and you didn't, that is advantage Biden, as I see it, frankly. How you feel about that, Des? Is that advantage Biden having no studio audience in there for Donald Trump to play to?
Yes, I think so. I think that Trump actually needs an audience, and the audience helps him interrupt, whereas he won't have that opportunity, and it will probably come off very badly if he tries.
But he feeds, you know, he feeds off the crowd. His mm-hmm. his jokes and his attacks may not go over so well with if there's nobody there to actually, you know, laugh at them or applaud wildly at them. Then again, Biden's jokes, if he has any, you know, may also suffer from a lack of audience. But I think it hurts Trump overall on balance much more than it hurts Joe Biden, which may be one of the reasons that guys like Sean Hannity are trying to make excuses for Trump to bow out somehow before Thursday. And there's a lot of people who say Trump's not going to show up at all. I'm not so sure I agree with that. But a lot of people think he's just going to find some excuse between now and then to not show up.
Yeah, but definitely, most definitely, the right-wing media are lowering expectations for how Trump will perform against Biden. They keep saying Biden's going to be hopped up on some kind of drugs or something because they want to try to make it sound like, see, it's rigged in advance.
Sure, that's what it is. In any event, CNN reports that the debate qualification window closed at 1 second after midnight Eastern time on Thursday, with Biden and Trump meeting the constitutional ballot qualifications and polling thresholds set by the network, but nobody else qualifying. That means that neither Robert F. Kennedy Jr., nor the Green Party's Jill Stein, nor the independent candidate Cornel West. Does he have a party? Does he actually have a? You don't know.
I don't know.
Nobody knows. Anyway, none of them apparently hit the requirements here, particularly CNN's polling threshold of 15% in at least four approved national polls, though Kennedy, according to NBC News, did hit 15% in three surveys that might have qualified ahead of the deadline, but he didn't hit that fourth. He also fell short of the network's ballot criteria, which required candidates to secure access in enough states to win 270 electoral votes, which is the number that is needed to actually win the presidency. Kennedy is currently on the ballot in just 10 states as of now. He's still trying to get on a few more. But even if he won all of those states, all 10, which he wouldn't, but even if he did, he would still not have nearly enough electoral votes to win the presidency. And to me, frankly, that's a far better gauge of whether someone should be allowed to participate in a presidential debate. I mean, if they let Kennedy in, if you got the exposure of such a high-profile media event, that would almost certainly bump up his polling numbers. So it's sort of a circular reasoning there that, oh, you have to be, meeting some polling threshold to appear in this debate where you would, you know,
get
a much higher polling.
To increase your poll
exactly.
numbers, right.
So that seems a little dubious. But the idea of Yeah, well, you need to be on the
you need
the
to have a shot
ballots.
At actually winning the Electoral
Correct.
College.
To be, you know, to be on the ballots in enough states that you serve as anything but a spoiler at this point, which is what, at this point, Kennedy would be. Last month, his campaign filed a Federal Election Commission complaint against CNN and the Biden and Trump campaigns, alleging that the way they set up the June 27 debate was illegal. Okay. Stephanie Speer, the press secretary for his campaign, said it is, quote, considering further legal action ahead of debate night. We'll see. Kennedy, however, still has a chance to qualify for the second and I presume final debate, at least the final one scheduled on September 10. That one will be hosted by ABC News. That debate has some has the same ballot access and polling criteria as CNN's debate. The CNN debate will be moderated by Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. It will be a 90-minute debate in Atlanta. I must say, I do not envy either of them. I've been thinking about this myself for a while, about what I would do if I was hosting this thing, if I was moderating this thing. I have no idea how I could possibly do it and be both fair and appropriately
controlling of the atmosphere.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
there's going to be so much going on. I wish them both luck.
Yeah, it's going to be. It is really super hard to moderate live events like that. So you know,
well, not
I
just any live event, but this particular live event at
well,
this
yes.
particular moment with these two particular candidates,
exactly.
one of them being a convicted felon. You know, who by all rights, at least if you believe in the Constitution, should not even be running, should not even be on the ballot. But, you know, I'm a conservative, a textualist who actually reads the Constitution and, you know, believes that we ought to follow it, unlike the radical, corrupted Supreme Court justices who think you can just make it up as you go along. Oh, yeah, I know that says that in the Constitution. I know it says that Donald Trump should not be able to run, but wait, who's it going to affect, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Oh, Donald Trump. Oh, well, then never mind what it says in the Constitution. Anyway, I wish them both luck, Jake and Dana. Good luck to you. I'm sure they've got this all figured out, right? Both candidates have accepted the rules of the format, the rules and the format of the debate, as was outlined in letters that were sent to the campaigns by the networks in May. Both candidates agreed to appear at a uniform podium, and their podium positions will be determined by a coin flip. Microphones, and this will not help Donald Trump either, microphones will be muted throughout the debate except for the candidate whose turn it is to speak. While no props or pre-written notes will be allowed on the stage, candidates will be given a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. I am not sure if I'm looking forward to this debate or if I am dreading it. I think there's a whole lot of Americans on all sides of the aisle who will be white-knuckling it between now and Thursday, and then, frankly, between Thursday and the election. And frankly, for those of us paying attention, between the election day and beyond, when, well, we'll see what happens. all right, we'll take a quick break. And we will come back with Desi Doyen and our Green News Report. That's straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Hey, this is Brad. Please consider supporting whichever progressive media outlet is supporting you and the things that you care about. Most, just like us, do not receive corporate or political support. We all need your support to counter the powerful corporate media echo chamber. Right now, as much as ever. If you choose to support us, you can do it really easily, safely, and quickly via bradblog.com/donate. From Desi Doyen and myself, thank you. I'll stop the world, it melts.
even keep up, Desi Doyen. Things are changing and moving so quickly.
Yes.
In climate news, just alone, one of the stories that we cover today, we'll get to it in a second in our latest Green News Report, out of Saudi Arabia.
Yes, we already have an update from the Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. But when we laid down our Green News Report, 550 people had died from heat stroke. It's already doubled since then. Agence France-Presse is reporting more than 1,000 people have now died from heat stroke during the Hajj. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, that these are changing really quickly, and it's just tragic.
It is indeed, as you'll hear in our latest Green News Report.
Americans are facing extreme conditions from coast to coast, and the worst of the heat is yet to come.
Extreme heat intensifies across eastern U.S. as Tropical Storm Alberto kicks off hurricane season.
What was so shocking to me about, you know, Ruidoso's alert, in all caps, go now. Do not attempt to gather any belongings.
Deadly wildfires force evacuations in New Mexico. Plus,
not much you can do. The school doesn't really have air conditioning. It's not fair to the kids or staff to be in there.
Schools grapple with the impacts of extreme heat.
All of those impacts and too many more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Doesn't look like it's cooling down anytime soon. Scientists warn heat waves will be longer, more intense, more frequent. So, good news for Mrs. Heatwave.
This is your Green News Report.
Anything can be a sex joke.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, at this point, it's like the extreme weather is pretty much exploding everywhere across these United States, at least.
Oh, yes. So much extreme weather. As we go to air, nearly 100 million Americans across 24 states are grappling with dangerous extreme heat. Maine issued its first ever excessive heat warning.
In Maine.
Also, Tropical Storm Alberto, the first named storm of what is forecast to be a very busy Atlantic hurricane season, quickly spun up and made landfall in northern Mexico Thursday morning, fueled by unusually hot ocean waters. Alberto's torrential rainfall across northern Mexico and south Texas is triggering dangerous flooding. Even before landfall, Alberto generated significant storm surge along the entire Texas coast, hundreds of miles away.
Messing with Texas.
In New Mexico, two wind-driven wildfires burning out of control in unusually hot and dry conditions forced the evacuation of the entire town of Ruidoso. That's about 8,000 people, with only minutes of warning. Two deaths confirmed as we go to air. Officials estimate at least 1,400 structures have been damaged or destroyed. New Mexico is facing both fire and rain as seasonal monsoon storms unleashed hail, a dust storm, and flash floods, particularly dangerous for burn areas.
They've seen fire and they've seen rain.
Yep, because of course. Heads up, in the Pacific Northwest, the FDA has issued a warning that consumers should avoid eating shellfish from Oregon and Washington State because they may be contaminated with toxins that cause paralytic shellfish poisoning caused by an algae bloom likely triggered by fertilizer runoff and warm ocean waters. Over in the Middle East, during the Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia, the death toll from heat stroke has soared. At least 550 people have now died as temperatures spike to an astonishing 125 degrees.
125 degrees.
And Delhi, India, this week experienced its hottest night on record, with overnight temperatures dropping to a searing 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, man.
During one of the longest and most severe heat waves in India's history. Numerous studies show that man-made climate change driven by the burning of fossil fuels is unleashing more frequent extreme weather events globally. Climate scientists say even worse outcomes can be avoided if governments cut emissions faster.
Good luck with that. We ought to just change the name of the show to the Impact News Report at this point.
In other news, Inside Climate News reports that multiple recent studies warn about the risks that extreme temperatures pose to kids around the world. Extreme temperatures are particularly dangerous for children under the age of 9 because heat affects their smaller bodies faster than adults. It can also affect their learning, sleep, and mental health. Heat also impacts pregnancy. A new study in the Journal of the American Medical Association links extended heat waves to an elevated risk of early and preterm births. U.S. schools that are still in session are grappling with how to keep children safe in extreme heat, especially in areas that haven't traditionally needed air conditioning. A recent report from the Center for Climate Integrity estimated that nearly 14,000 public schools across the country that didn't need air conditioning in 1970 will need to install cooling systems in coming years at an estimated cost of more than $40 billion, according to report co-author Richard Wiles on CBS News.
And it's going to get not only hotter outside, but more expensive to maintain those systems going into the future. It's a permanent cost to schools that was not there before the climate started overheating.
Yikes. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we didn't have the heart to get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You wish that summer could always be
at this rate, it will always be here. You know, it occurs to me when we started the show, Desi Doyen, talking about pollution, air pollution affecting children. We end the show with
how extreme heat is affecting children.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like we ought to do something about all
of
that.
There's a party, the Republican Party, that likes to tell us how much they care about the children and how much they're doing for the children. Here's an idea. They could do something for the climate if they actually wanted to help the children.
And the good thing is, once you know better, you can do better. So perhaps we can do better on that one.
We got to do better on a lot of stuff, but we also got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen. My thanks as well to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us, a portion of your lazy, crazy summer. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, download it for free anytime at bradblog.com. There is no paywall there. That is made possible. Thank you to those of you who hit the donate button at bradblog.com or go straight to bradblog.com/donate. We could really use your support right now this year. Bradblog.com/donate. Thanks in advance. You can drop me email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter, you will find me at the Brad Blog. You will find Desi at Green News Report.
Please come by and say hi.
That's it. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman, and I mean this. Good luck, world.
You wish that summer could always be here. You wish that summer could always be here. You wish that summer could always be here.